Hello and welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Obert, how are we doing today?
Doing really good. Excited to talk about Civil War.
We're back talking about some Civil War. Get my laptop here so I have all the information. So we obviously didn't do a week one recap. Stuff got, as you know, things happened, right?
Right.
Life got in the way. Going back to week one, though, it was pretty par for the course, I would say. Nothing too shocking happened. My team was a little underwhelming, I would say. Same thing with League Two. Not a huge difference. Although, the one thing I do want to touch on before we get into, because we're going to focus more on League One than we will League Two, but we'll note anything that that we see in League Two that we think is interesting. And I think the big thing is that in League Two, there's a lot more parity. I feel like there was, maybe it was because we weren't trying necessarily as hard as we did in League One, but like the highest point total is 349, and then you get down to the seventh point total, the seventh highest point total, and it's 310.
Right.
Like that, and we're talking about a difference of 40 points. Meanwhile, the highest in League One is 380, the seventh is 285, so it's nearly a 100-point difference. Meanwhile, in League Two, you have six teams that are all 1-1, and the one team that's 0-2 is me, yet I have the most points in the league.
Right.
So I think that, A, because we didn't dominate the league like we absolutely could have with our draft picks, I think that along with it seems like the people in League Two, for the most part, came more prepared than League One, which is not something that I expected.
No.
But let's talk about League One. So the standings as of Week Two are Texas at one, so that is Cole's team, right? He won this week 190 to 143. He's got 380 total points on the season. He's 2-0. He's one of three 2-0 teams on the season. Another one is California. Obviously, that is Obert. He had 190.46. Beat, I believe it was Ohio, who only scored 100. Yes, it was Ohio. Yes, 162.12. So you have 366 points on the season. You're 2-0 as well. Georgia is the other team that is 2-0. That's Carl, which we're a little surprised by. But here's the thing. He only beat Mike by 2 points or half a point. No, it was 0.2 points. It was a quarter of a point. And so one of them had to lose, and both of them being 1-0, Georgia or Carl, whichever one you want to call him by, is now 2-0. Even though Mike, who's Alabama this year, has more total points by about 27, he is 1-1. I also am 1-1 after scoring 195 points this week. Unfortunately for Cedric, he had 190 points and lost who I was playing. He's Florida. It was a really tough week for the two of us because it was after you in Texas, I believe. What did you actually finish? Because I don't know if I updated this. Did you actually finish with 190 points?
I think so. Yeah.
So we ended up having four teams score 190 points. Two of them played each other. So it's always tough. Somebody's got to lose. Yeah, and fortunately for myself, it wasn't me. I have 329 points on the season. So, you know, there is a clear separation between at least the top three and everybody else. Me and Carl, Oklahoma and Georgia right now, there's literally a half point separating us. Florida Cedric's kind of in a tier of his own, I would say, with 310 total points on the season, and then Ohio and Louisiana. This is kind of what we expected from them, right?
Right.
Just bottom of the barrel, Louisiana, 266 total points, Ohio with 285. And the thing I wanted to talk about is that the lowest point total in Oklahoma in League 2 is 271. So that's the lowest, and it's only, you know, 14 points off of the seventh lowest point total. Everybody else is at least, I think, yeah, everybody else is higher than the sixth place team. So it's kind of interesting just to see the dichotomy there. But let's really dive into the matchups this week. You have the actual matches, but what are the biggest takeaways that you had based off of what you're seeing from week two?
You got almost forgot my mic. Yeah, a lot of points at the top of the league is really interesting. Like you said, the 190 points. I don't know how often that happened last year, where literally half the league scored 190 or more.
It was also crazy because week one, I think we had one person score 190, right. And then like it was 170.
Oh, this is going to be the sort of lower scoring year now that we've all sort of figured out the league. Okay, so no,
yeah, no, it was just the NFL. Right, had a down week one. So,
this was pretty impressive. When half the league goes for just a ridiculous amount of points. It's pretty impressive. My big takeaway through 2 weeks, this is probably true for both of us, undervaluing Texas a little bit. They've absolutely exceeded expectations, being first in the league, scoring 190 points pretty much 2 weeks in a row now. I think the big thing has been Mike Evans. Like, I hate to oversimplify things, but like 29 points in week two, and I think in week one, 18.6. Like, he has been incredible. Everyone kind of predicted a down year, but
Baker was his quarterback.
Right, Baker had a really solid start, so he's playing really solid himself. And, you look at some of these guys towards the lower end of his bench, like Adam Thielen, Tank Dell, like 20 points each. That's just not something you would have anticipated. Hunter Henry, I still think...
Yeah, Hunter Henry was the crazy... He literally took Arkansas. I was like, okay.
Right, like just crazy stuff going on with this team that you really couldn't have predicted. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk had the big game in week one. So I would say that's probably the biggest takeaway for me. Texas has been absolutely spectacular. Alabama's been a little bit better than expected.
And that's because Mike Miami actually Dolphins, drafted well.
Right, and the Miami Dolphins. Having Tua, Jalen Waddle, and Tyreek Hill, and the yards they pick up just in the passing game, he pretty much has ownership of all of that. And how much it's weighted by their top two receivers, I would guess it's one of the most... In football, of a three-headed monster.
Yeah, I would agree.
Being attributable for pretty much an entire offense has been so key for Mike. And obviously, Devonta Smith has just been incredible.
It was literally his draft. His draft of wide receivers. And then he gets the best offense in the NFL.
Right.
And it kind of just all meshed together. And it was whatever deficiencies he did have, it doesn't really matter because it more weeks than not, that Miami trio is going to carry him.
I think that is really impressive for Mike. Other than that, not too many big surprises. I mean, obviously it's surprising that Florida's 0-2. That was my number two team in the power rankings. But, like you said, scoring 190 points and losing,
not tough.
A lot you can do. So, I would say not too surprised with what's happened in the league. Those would probably be my three biggest takeaways.
As for me, I'm really going to focus on my team with my first takeaway. It's the fact that I did the same thing again this year that I did last year. I took South Carolina and then waited on quarterback. And the question is, when am I going to learn? Right. So far through 2 weeks, and obviously it's only 2 weeks, and so this could absolutely change. The one quarterback that I was able to pick, I think I picked up Deshaun in the fourth or fifth round. He's been my worst quarterback of the three. I took Jordan Love and I took Baker Mayfield. I was like, and there was almost consolation prizes. It was okay, I wasn't able to get any of the other guys, so this is literally all I'm left with. And through 2 weeks, Jordan Love has, I think, had five passing touchdowns. He hasn't thrown for a ton of yards. It's a good thing that yardage for quarterbacks isn't a huge deal. I think this past week against Atlanta, he had 151 passing yards. Three touchdowns, though. That was the big thing. And then Baker having a little bit of a career resurgence in Tampa. I did not predict that. I was literally dreading the fact that he was my quarterback. And I'm sitting here week two, and I'm like, well, if Jordan Love hadn't, scored 28 points, Baker would have been my starting quarterback with 24.
Right.
It's okay, I'll take that. Absolutely. I did like your mention of Texas, and we did kind of undervalue them, and it was, I think what we're starting to realize, or at least what's starting to show statistically, is that locks are important, yes, but you do need put the talent above the locks. And so Louisiana had the locks, but does that matter if you don't have the pool of players that some of these other states did?
Right.
And that's what we're kind of seeing. It's like Texas doesn't have the locks with the top end talent, but if you're drafting them and you play it in a smart way, which Cole did, you can still get them. And this is without Bijan even really breaking out yet. He had a great week two, didn't really have a week one to talk about, but it looks like they're going to use him more week after week after week. And so I only expect his team to get better. And it just, it's very interesting to see based off of last year who was drafting with what team and how they performed this year. Because with Texas last year, Ethan finished, I think, was it fifth or sixth?
Yeah.
I think he finished sixth. Texas this year, Cole's in first place. And I will say Texas was in the top two last year through the first like 4 weeks of the season and then fell off. But I don't, with the depth of Cole's team right now, I don't really see that happening.
Yep.
And another big thing I wanted to hit on is Georgia. Losing Nick Chubb is going to kill. It's going to kill that team. I don't, because I can't remember running back situation. I don't think it was the best running back situation for Georgia. And now you, like, you could rely on Nick Chubb for like 15 a game, and now you can't. And so I don't really know what the solution is there. I think he picked up, he picked somebody up, but I can't remember who it was, which was smart. Use your IR spots. If a guy goes on IR, done for the season, pick up somebody else. I made a move where it was like, I just picked up Puka Nacua for Jonathan Taylor. I was like, yeah, I'll take Puka. He's the number one wide receiver in fantasy
through
the first 2 weeks. I was like, yeah, I'll take that. Absolutely. Even though my running backs are awful. Ohio is another one I wanted to talk about. So their first, let me pull up their first couple of rounds because we were very critical of how they drafted those first, wrong league, those first couple rounds. And let's see what's happened. So Justin Fields, round one, not great, right? It was between Ohio and Georgia. Took him in the first round, not the best idea. So Kenneth Walker in the second round, didn't play great week two. I can't remember his week one stat line, but I don't think it was anything out of this world. Trevor Lawrence, didn't have a great week two because he wasn't able to, score in the red zone. But that shouldn't be a problem the rest of the way.
Yep.
If I were to redo his, probably would have taken Trevor Lawrence one. And then here's where we get into the rough part. In the next three rounds, he goes running back, right? Didn't take Chris Olave when he could have, instead of, taking those two quarterbacks and the running backs. Left Chris Olave on the table for you. So far, he's a fantastic start to the season. He loses, so he takes David Montgomery,
right,
J.K. Dobbins, and Rashad White in the next three rounds. Rashad White so far is probably the best of the three because Montgomery's out. Had Montgomery been healthy, or had Montgomery not gotten hurt, it's going to be Montgomery. J.K. Dobbins, was it Achilles or was it?
Yes, it was a torn Achilles.
He's out for the season. So
just like Rodgers,
it's tough, and his other two running backs are Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. Now, obviously, because J.K. Dobbins is on IR, you can and they put Pittsburgh put Deontay Johnson on IR as well. So you can go out and get some of the guys. It's about doing it, right? So far, he hasn't used those IR spots to go get other people, which, like we mentioned, is so key because those guys aren't getting you points, right? You want to be able to get points. That's very imperative in staying competitive in this league. And then I just want to go back and look at you taking Christian McCaffrey over Austin Eckler in the second round. Great play.
Nice.
Great idea. Great job. Like because it at the time it was like, and it made sense, right? I'll take whoever you don't take. Well, the way it looks right now, Christian McCaffrey is going to be the clear RB1 in the league, and it's not going to be close. So
he's played fantastic so far.
You are very smart.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that. Let's go into your power rankings. What do we have? What do you have?
Yeah, here? Very difficult to make this week. 1 through 6 is very, very close. A lot closer than been in years past. But starting off, pretty obvious with number 8, Louisiana has been as bad as advertised. Not only have they not had a step up at running back, which you'd kind of expect. You'd expect just one guy to like just start playing well, whether it be Travis Etienne or Tyjae Spears or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or just somebody to come out of that group and kind of just perform a little bit, Elijah Mitchell. But no, really hasn't. Etienne is disappointed. Tyjae Spears has been, what you'd expect out of, RB2 or even 3 in Tennessee. But the big disappointment has been Ja'Marr Chase has done absolutely nothing to this point. I mean, the biggest appeal of Louisiana is getting both Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, and a player that was projected to be a top 5 fantasy player has really not been a top 50,
yeah,
even 100 so far through 2 weeks. So really a sluggish start there, and can anyone be surprised with the results? I mean, other than Kirk Cousins, it's been disappointment after disappointment.
Although Kirk Cousins, I think, is the number one quarterback in fantasy. So.
Right. That's what I was saying. Like, other than him, it has been fucking bad. So, you know, a tough start for Louisiana. A bit, you know, predictable, having seen that draft. But, yeah, so they are still far and away in eighth place. Seventh place, Ohio. Actually, a semi-decent week despite a 30-point loss. Over 160 points put up. Russell Wilson finally cooked from a fantasy perspective. Say whatever you will about the on-field performance. You know, 31 points is fantastic. Still getting solid production out of the wide receivers. That's good. Travis Kelce had a solid week one with a touchdown. You know, pretty positives all around. Quarterback play has been good with C.J. Stroud. So, you know, a decent week still. I mean, you know, the big thing was who was on that bench, who was there for depth, and there has been absolutely no one outside of, you know, his starters who honestly have played decently, at least in week two. His bench has done absolutely nothing. And the point is that isn't sustainable. If somebody has a bad week or we get into buys, we get into injuries, it will be big trouble for Ohio. So pretty comfortably in seventh place for Ohio. I don't know how they did in week one.
It wasn't. It was no, even worse.
It was much worse. 123 points. Yeah.
And I think, and going to league two, Oklahoma, I think, scored like 99 points in week one. So it was a down week for everybody, but some teams got it worse than others.
Right. Georgia,
now the tough part,
Georgia at six. You know, my thing with Georgia, like you said, especially with the Nick Chubb thing, I do wonder how much this will kind of be able to be sustained. A lot of players on this team, you know, have good weeks, and you're like, can Daniel Jones really put up 34 points every week when he isn't playing the Arizona Cardinals? Can Keenan Allen go for 31 points every week as a however?
I don't know, man. They keep throwing him the football.
That
so
is true. it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you know, I guess Alvin Kamara will get back at some point, which
I think he's back after this week. I think it was a 3-game suspension.
Okay. Aaron Jones will get back. So I don't think running back depth is too bad. But, you know, again, it's like, will James Cook be able to go for 123 yards every week? And just a lot of questions about guys that did step up and how much can they do that? So, and, you know, let's be frank, 162 points isn't anything to, you know, throw a parade over.
Crazy.
So,
three teams had 162 points this week.
That
three
is
three teams
that
had 190 is, points this week.
That is bananas. do you know what Georgia did in week one? I can't really remember.
It was a win. I don't think it was a very good one. I think it was an average win.
Yeah, 167 points. So yeah. Just from a pure points perspective, that kind of matches up, but still a solid team. Still a solid team that could absolutely make some noise. So went off to a good start. Five, I have Florida. Kind of a drop down from two, and not a ton their fault. You know, I think there's some really good teams in front of them. Obviously, the big thing with this team is Kyle Pitts is just, I mean, inability to be the fantasy player that we all thought. But, you know, there are positives. Like, Zay Flowers has been better than expected, especially so far.
Yeah, they're going to use him, too, which is nice.
Anthony Richardson has been much better than expected so far. The four quarterbacks thing doesn't look too bad right now.
Getting production out of that
position every week. You know,
because who was the court? He took Kenny Pickett, right?
Yeah,
that was the quarterback. Like, if he had just taken Geno, Lamar, and AR, which is what, you know, I would have done,
probably be fine.
Although, but I want to thank him for taking Kenny Pickett because, oh my god, did I dodge a bullet with that one?
True. Jerry Jeudy has also been a bit of a disappointment, but honestly, really not that bad. It's just a lot of really good teams right now that have had a great start. So, and you know what? As bad as some of it has been, it's like DeAndre Swift has overachieved a lot too. Mm-hmm. So I would just say the biggest thing is needing more from that tight end position. Like, you almost just need Kyle Pitts to be average and put up 10 points a week. That would be fine in itself, but you know, as it is, it's ugly. Four, I have Oklahoma. You're off to a really good start. You know, it's really tight in these top four spots. Obviously, putting up 195 points was pretty ridiculous. I mean, I don't know of too many flaws with your team. You know, CeeDee Lamb has been great. Yeah, Josh Jacobs would probably be the only slight disappointment, but you know, other than that, it has been pretty much completely positive. I mean, Tyler Lockett putting up 25 points is ridiculous. Same with T. Higgins. CeeDee Lamb absolutely living up to expectations. Same with Deebo Samuel. This is a good team. It's a really good team. Like you said, running back is the only sort of thing that could be interesting. I would think that like Jonathan Taylor would only get better as the year. I mean, I don't. Well, we don't know what the future holds. Yeah. But.
So Josh Jacobs and the Raiders offense hasn't looked great, which is not very good for me.
Pacheco's not getting as many touches as you told.
Correct. Yeah, he's splitting carries with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and isn't getting receptions. Those are going to Jerick McKinnon. So kind of a tough situation there. Jonathan Taylor was on the pup. And we'll talk about it once we get into some of the adds and drops, but I mentioned it already. So we'll see what happens with the running back position. I'm not very hopeful for it, though.
Right. Texas at 3. Far and away the leading point scorer of our league so far. A lot to be impressed with. A little bit with you, it's like I don't know how much sustainable this is when Roschon Johnson is like currently running back 2, literally currently the running back 2 on this team because Austin Eckler's not healthy.
He'll be RB1 for Chicago pretty soon. So
yeah, that's true. So I don't know how much this can be repeated, especially like I said, when you're getting 20 point performances from Adam Thielen and Tank Dell. Like
that is insane.
Insane. When that goes to 10 points from those guys, and that's what he's getting out of his flex spots, I don't really think so. That's why I don't have him any higher. Obviously there's a case for it with how many points he's scoring, but just from a long-term, you know, abstract perspective, Hunter Henry, Adam Thielen, Tank Dell, just like all of these guys overachieving, and on his bench it's like 8 points, seven yeah. points, 5 points. The mark of a great team is when you look on a bench and it's like a consistent like 10 points and you're like, oh my gosh, they can be doing this all season long. 2 is Alabama. I don't know. Like, maybe this is an overreaction, but, like, I don't know if this, like, Tua, you know, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill thing ever slows down. Like, I think he's going to get 50 points from those three every single
week. And the thing that makes me so confident about that trio is that there are literal former coaches and there are guys who break down film every single week talking about how this is the most efficient offense that they have ever seen.
Right.
Like there's no missteps. Everybody's on the same page. The one thing that you're really missing with the offense that it's being greedy is for Tua to hit some of those deep balls consistently.
Right.
That's it.
And on Mike's bench, it's big names, too. I mean, A.J. Brown is still on this team. George Kittle is on this bench. You know, Elijah Moore is on this bench. Jonathan Mingo, Calvin Ridley. Like, I mean, some players on this bench that, you know, just aren't quite getting the volume. Brian Robinson is off to an incredible start.
Yep, he's RB3.
So, yes, the running. Yeah, I know. So, yes, the running back position is struggling a little bit just from a depth perspective, which was always going to be the issue. But that was like controlled for Mike. Like, yep. He knew his wide receivers were going to be so good, he didn't care. So it just feels like a team that has a very sound future. Myself at 1, I'm a beast. What can I say? No, I'm just kidding. I think I'm off to a pretty good start. You know, 190 points this week, 175 last week. A couple of things that, you know, are scary. Jamal Williams is
awful.
Yeah, he's
hurt right now
and not getting carries. Najee Harris is a bum. Breece Hall is a bum.
Wait. Breece Hall's not a bum.
No, he's just not getting any care. Literally not getting any carries.
He's not. I think the thing for Breece is that the first 6-7 weeks are going to be like this, like yep. what we saw on Monday night in week 1. I think after that, once he's like in football shape,
right?
I think then he's going to start getting, you'll start seeing like, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 touches a game.
Right. My wide receivers though have been better than advertised. I mean, I think this receiver room, it's not on the high end as Mike, but it does have the depth of anybody else in the league. Cause you know, I mean, I talked about, you know, what you're looking for on your bench, and it is, you know, 26 points for my quarterback position, you know, quarterback still, but Michael Thomas going for 12.5 points, yep. didn't start. Sam Laporta going for 11.3 points. Even Juju going for 8 points. So you know, we'll see how it goes, but it does look like, especially out of the wide receiver position, I'll be able to fill up those flex spots pretty routinely with Jordan Addison's, you know, emergence as a strong wide receiver too in Minnesota. Chris Olave, like you said, and Michael Thomas really kind of bouncing back from injury over there. And, you know, Amon-Ra obviously being as good as he was last year, which is big as well. Played it really well in week one, playing well now. You know, so I think quarterback, wide receiver, off to a good start, and then running back, obviously having probably the best running back in the league so far from a fantasy perspective, and maybe from
NFL perspective. It might be Bijan
Chubb out. Yeah,
it might be Bijan. I think right now the discussion is Bijan or Christian McCaffrey.
So, you know, solid start, and then we'll see how it goes. But really, I think, you know, especially 1 through 4 at this point is almost interchangeable.
Yeah.
I think Texas might be the only team that it's like, okay, you know, I don't really know what the future holds as far as like insane amount of scoring going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Even them, I think aren't they the highest scoring team?
Yes, they are. And I don't think it's like that close either. No, it's by 15 points.
Right. So, so it should be really interesting. I think this league will be much more competitive than it was last year.
Which is nice. I like that.
When you're talking about 6 teams that aren't just like getting lucky to be at where they're at, but actually have a strong chance to win the league.
Yeah.
It should be really fun.
Running back's the one position we have to keep an eye on for everybody. But the amount
of injuries,
the amount of injuries we've seen from the running back position. Once guys start going on IR and then we start seeing more moves, I'm going to get into waivers and some moves people have already made. But like Kyren Williams, who's the starting running back in LA now, he's a Notre Dame grad. I can't remember where he was born, but like he's a guy that's going to be a hot commodity at some point.
Yeah.
I think that there's
Warren
Jalen Warren. He's already been picked up.
Oh, by who?
Carl. I don't get into that. But like running back is going to be, and it's not going to be your top end guys. And so you're going to have to figure out which committee guy do you want to grab.
Right.
And that's going to be how you construct your running back position. But that's been the weird injuries. And it's long-term injuries for a lot of these guys who are at the top end of the position. So that'll be interesting to monitor going forward. But let's get into the waivers and some moves people have already made. So you were the first one to make a move,
yep.
And it was very clear. You needed a quarterback because Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. You went out and got Derek Carr.
Right.
That was, I think that was really your only option.
Yep.
And it was a lock.
I feel like I had another.
Did you have somebody else?
Maybe Brock Purdy, I think I could have picked up.
No, he's Iowa, Arizona.
Iowa.
Oh, you do have Iowa. That's right. Yeah.
So I could have done that.
Which you or Texas should, and I know Texas has got Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, but like.
Yeah, well, it was
Purdy's down. Been putting up some points.
Yeah, yeah. It was down between Derek Carr and Brock Purdy, and I don't like Brock Purdy.
That's so fair. I also don't mind, from your perspective, kind of getting that Saints offense.
Yeah,
they haven't scored a ton of touchdowns, but they've been moving the ball.
Yeah.
And so you kind of hope that eventually they start finding the end zone more through the air.
Right.
Maybe it'll help. And then Cole dropped Jeff Wilson. He didn't really play at all before going to the IR. Kind of weird. The Dolphins even had him. Cole picks up Josh Reynolds instead. Great move by him. He's wide receiver 2 right now in Detroit. And if Amon-Ra is out for, you know, a week or two, Reynolds is going to be the guy that they go to. I think he had 4 for 80 in week one, and then he topped it again by scoring a touchdown in week two. So Carl picked up Jalen Warren after getting rid of Nick Chubb. Great move. I think that by the end of the season, Jalen Warren's the starting running back in Pittsburgh. There was this joke on Twitter. It was like, Jalen Warren looks like he has more juice than Najee Harris.
Right.
I mean, yes, he does. Like
Najee just looks slow.
He looks slow. He's not agile. He's not quick. He's got heavy feet. That's what it looks like.
Right.
And he's got terrible ball carrier vision. So, interesting move by Cedric. Did Michael Mayer? I'll have to double check this. Did Michael Mayer go on the IR?
Oh,
because Cedric picked him or dropped him, and I don't think that he's on IR. Can you look on your phone?
Yep.
Because he picked up Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, we might have to veto that. I'll look and check.
I don't think he's on IR.
No, I don't think so either.
Man.
I am.
That's unfortunate. Does he have anybody on IR?
Nope.
Okay, so then we'll just have to, yeah, nothing.
Rip. But still a good thought. Where's Mostert from? I don't think
he's an Indiana.
Oh, he is a lock?
I think he's Florida, Indiana. Lock. Okay. Yeah. And then I dropped Jonathan Taylor, who's still on the PUP. Wouldn't be eligible until after week four. Very curious move by me to drop a potential starter for my team for Puka Nacua. Listen, Puka Nacua has been the wide receiver one or two in all of fantasy football. And if I can just have that, yes, my wide receivers have been good, even great. But I'm going to take that for a guy who's literally sitting on my bench giving me nothing.
Right.
At least until Cooper Kupp gets back. I know Puka's going to be the number one target in that offense. And then if somebody else gets hurt, I can just take Jonathan Taylor because I know that it's me and Mike, I think, has.
Yeah.
I think Mike's not going to pay attention. So I'll have that, no problem, if Jonathan Taylor does come back healthy and looks good. Yeah. And then next week, you play Cole, so we'll get a good look at that.
New number one, potentially.
Ooh.
If Texas pulls off the upset.
Who else do we have? I don't remember. I don't know who I play. I hope it's Ohio or Louisiana so I can get an easy win.
We have Alabama and Florida, a classic.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Cedric looking to pick up his first win.
Sort of the toilet bowl, Louisiana and Ohio.
Damn it. So I got to play Carl. I feel
Georgia
good.
And Oklahoma.
I feel good about that. I can win that game. Yeah, so there it is. There you have it. Week two recap of fantasy football, Civil War. So far, I think year two is gone better than year one, and I don't think it's relatively close. As for league two, we'll keep you updated on that one as well. I think that one's an interesting experiment as well, with the different state combinations that we did. So thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.